It's very important when we have these festivals that we can somehow concentrate our mind on the deity whose appearance we are celebrating. In this case, it's very important to concentrate on Lord Nrisimhadev. As we yesterday said, Lord Nrisimhadev is a very special incarnation of Lord Krishna, who Lord Nrisimhadev is really a manifestation of Bhaktavatsala. He is a friend of his devotee who appears from the spiritual world in order to protect his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. We find a very nice illustration of what it means to be Bhaktavatsala, the friend of the devotee, in a particular pastime concerning Haridas Thakur. As you all know, Haridas Thakur was intoxicated with Krishna prema, and he was walking on the banks of the Ganga, sometimes stumbling, sometimes falling, sometimes crying. He was moved so much because he was chanting the sweet names of Lord Krishna. Sometimes he would change his colors, and everyone who saw Haridas Thakur was moved by him to take up the chanting of the holy name. When the Muslim government heard this, they were ferocious and gave an issue or an order for Haridas Thakur's imprisonment and punishment if he would not stop chanting. So later, Haridas Thakur, after he had met the king told him, "You have to stop this Hindu religion. You have to start repeating the words of the Kora. I believe in Allah, the only one," and so on. So Haridas Thakur said, "I can't do this. My tongue will continue chanting even if you cut my body into 1,000 pieces." So the Muslims thought, "Well, this is what we will do. We will take you, and we will bring you to the marketplace, and then before everyone's eye, we will beat you." The judgment was that Haridas Thakur had to go to 21 marketplaces, being brutally whipped. And when he arrived at the first marketplace, the pious people came and said to the Muslims, "Please protect him. Please take me and punish me instead of Haridas." Others said, "My dear Muslim brother, take my daughter and my whole property and be satisfied, but do not beat Haridas." But the Muslim guards could not be moved. They hit Haridas Thakur. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the spiritual world. He saw what was done to his devotees. So Mahaprabhu left the Vaikuntha worlds and came down equipped with his Sudarshan Chakra, his fire disc. He wanted to kill all those who were beating mercilessly Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur was praying to him, "My Lord, they are so ignorant. Please do not kill them. Please, I beg you in my name, spare them." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, covered with his own divine body, the body of Haridas Thakur, and all the beating which was going against Haridas Thakur was actually received by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, during the Mahaprakash, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulence, he called Haridas and said, "Haridas, when you were mercilessly beaten, you forbade me to take action against the demons. Please, my dear Haridas, you are such a great devotee. At that time, I came with my Sudarshan Chakra to finish the demons, but you forbade me. Then what could I do? I had to take all the beatings on myself." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu removed his chadar and showed Haridas Thakur the marks of the beating. This is an example where the Lord came down from Vaikuntha to protect his devotee. Now, in the case of Lord Narsinghadev, he also came from Vaikuntha to take care of the protection of his devotee. And this festival is meant for us to meditate on Lord Narsinghadev's protection. In the evening, we will all have a Narsingha Maha Raksha Homa. It means an Homa where we will request the divine protection of the Lord. And it would be very nice if you can all come and during that time receive your own protection. During that time, the Lord will again come back, come from Vaikuntha to give protection to all of you. Now, when we did, when we had Narsingha Chaturdasi, I wanted to, I guided the devotees into a chanting of a stotra, that means a prayer from Sri Brahmanda Purana, where the devotee can meditate about Lord Narsinghadev and then chant mantras for protection. And I wanted to go with all of you again through this ancient prayer, and then in this way you would all become protected. Here it is. "Now I shall speak the sacred armor of Lord Narsingha, which Prahlad Maharaj spoke in ancient times, and which gives all protection, destroys all obstacles, and brings good fortune, opulence, and liberation." So when you start chanting this, you first do some meditation, and I will describe to you what is this meditation. First, you meditate about Lord Narsinghadev, who's the master of the demigods and who's sitting on a golden throne. What you do in this, you establish in your heart a golden throne and then you invite Lord Narsinghadev there. Do you think we could do this, or is this too spiritual for you? I think we can do, no? We are spiritualists. We are not afraid of spiritual practice. So please, sit down peacefully and properly. We will do now some meditation, and I will give you some lines. When I do like this, it means the meditation is beginning. Now, most of you have not rested enough, and we will open now one window so that it is a little bit more oxygen. Now, you should please, for a moment, just concentrate all your attention on your breathing. Turn your attention inward into the area of the heart. And there you can see a beautiful golden throne. And now we will start. "Please meditate on Lord Narsinghadev, who's sitting on the golden throne in your heart. Lord Nrisimhadev's mouth is wide open. He has three eyes who are as brilliant as the autumn moon. On his left side, Lord Nrisimhadev is embraced by the goddess of fortune, whose form is the shelter of great powers and opulences. Lord Nrisimhadev has four arms, very soft limbs. He has splendid golden earrings. He has jewel armlets. And yes, Lord Nrisimhadev is as brilliant as a molten mountain of gold. Lord Nrisimhadev is dressed in yellow garments. Lord Nrisimhadev has the splendor of rubies. Look at Lord Nrisimhadev's feet. See his toenails, from which the rays of light are coming. See how he holds a conch shell, a chakra, and many, many weapons. Lord Nrisimhadev is filled with bliss. And there is Garuda, who humbly glorifies Lord Nrisimhadev with many prayers. Please give Lord Nrisimhadev a home in the lotus of your heart. And then recite the following Nrisimha Kavacha mantra. So I will now chant this mantra, and you could kindly repeat this mantra after me. It's a mantra where we meditate on Lord Nrisimhadev. To give you just an idea of the wonderful effectiveness of these prayers, it says, may Lord Nrisimha, who is all-pervading and stays even in a pillar, protect us from my words. May Lord Nrisimha, whose eyes glisten like moons, suns of fire, protect my eyes. In this way, the Lord is requested to protect all the bodily limbs, like the tongue, so that one doesn't speak the wrong words, the face, the arms, and especially the heart. The Lord is requested by his devotees to ultimately protect him from the horrible cycle of samsara, the repeated birth and deaths in this material world. So Lord Nrisimhadev is Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his dear devotees, who comes with a fearful mood, Bhayankara mood, where he destroys with the heaviness of the Lord of the universe all the obstacles on his way. So I want to end here and request our Jayapataka Maharaj to address us this afternoon on the subject matter of Lord Nrisimhadev and his divine protection of his devotees. It's really wonderful that we have such a devotee who I believe feels also personally protected by the Lord. I remember that there was a time when we were fearing for our Jayapataka Maharaj's well-being, and somehow he has been retrieved from the problems. and is amongst us, happy, healthy, and traveling like a flash. So let us hear very patiently. I also want to announce that there is a slight change in the program to our favor. We have actually more time. The pujaris just said that the abhishek is at 4 o'clock, not 3:30. So you have ample time. You might like even to chant a little bit the devotees in the beginning. And then we have the abhishek ceremony from 4 o'clock to 5:30. Around 5:30 we will serve you the prasadam feast. And then we will again assemble for the Maha Arati and a special homa for the protection of all the devotees. We will talk a little bit and have a little katha before the homa. I also want to say for those who make travel plans that Jayapataka Maharaj gives tomorrow morning, the Bhagavatam class, and he will also come and join us later in the Munich temple. There, you know, we have a Sunday program at the Munich temple, so Maharaj will also join there. I'm saying this already now because I know some of you make travel plans, and in this way, when please consider these dates and then make plans accordingly. All right, so we will now give the microphone to our Maharaj.
Sri Narasingadev Sarva Vigna Vinashanam. This celebration of the appearance of Lord Narasingadev, remembering his pastimes, discussing his glories, is very auspicious for all of the devotees. Krishna has ananta rupa, unlimited forms. And this Narasingha Dev form is very special because he removes the obstacles from the path of the devotee. Some of Lord Chaitanya's associates were dedicated to worshipping Narasingha Dev, like Narasingha Brahmachari. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling in South India, then he would chant prayers to Lord Narasingha Dev. That we just chanted earlier, the Tavakara Kamala, Namaste Narasimhaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises us that we pray to Narasingha Dev to remove the obstacles for our worship of the Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shiva Sani Gaur Bhaktivinoda, as well as Radha Madhava, Radha Krishna. Haranyakasipu, he was a very offensive person. When Narasingha Dev appeared, it was something very amazing. Because Haranyakasipu was an atheist, so he didn't believe that God could come out from a pillar or from anywhere. Padma Purana also gives some information about Narasingha Dev that he appears in different days of Brahma. You know, there's one day of Brahma which is like one creation of the universe. all the planets and everything, everything's wound up at the end of the day of Brahma and then again recreated. So there's this cycle going on. So when the recreation happens, then nobody knows about, everybody forgets what happened in the previous time. So it's a whole new slate, new pastime. So we have the pastime where Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu does austerities. He gets certain boons from Brahmadev, which makes him virtually immortal. He thinks he's immortal, but he can't be killed by animals and men and in the day and the night. He gets so many different boons, inside, outside, in the air, on the land, in the sea. So in the Padma Purana, it also mentions that another kalpa, another day, another creation, that Hiranyakashipu worshipped Shiva. He did austerities and he got, Shiva appeared to him and offered him a boon, so then a blessing. So then he asked for blessings. Very similar, not exactly the same. A little bit different, but more or less 90% the same. So in this particular pastime, at the culmination stage, he tells the Prahlad that you should accept me worship me. I am the most powerful person here in the universe. And but Prahlad said, no, I accept Vishnu as the supreme. Then he said, well, if you can't accept me, at least accept Lord Shiva. Accept that Shiva is the supreme. But Prahlad, he was fixed, and only Vishnu is supreme. He said, you are offending Lord Shiva. You offended me, you're offending Shiva. So now, I have no other alternative but to kill you. He told his soldiers, you must go. With all your weapons, I want you to just massacre this little five-year-old child, right? So there's all these his demon soldiers who had, you know, swords, axes, tridents, clubs. They had, you know, all the really horrible big choppers for cutting off people's heads and all kinds of hand weapons that you could imagine and a few you cannot also even imagine. And so they all came running up to the little boy who was just sitting there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Someone smashed you. Ah! As soon as the weapon touched Prahlad, it turned into a blue lotus. Someone took his sword, went to jab him. As soon as it touched Prahlad, it turned into a blue lotus. Someone had a big spear, went, Rah! As soon as it touched Prahlad, poof. So they're all coming in with all their weapons and trying to smash him and cut him and chop him, but he was just being covered with piles of blue lotuses. Like Puspanjali. So Hiranyakashipu, he was like furious. What's going on here? Then he had these massive elephants brought. Big male elephants who are in the rut. That means, I mean, there's like a particular stage when male elephants get really super passionate and they're almost mad. You can hardly handle them. They brought this kind of raging elephants with huge tusks and set the elephant went and with his tusk jabbed into Prahlad. But as soon as the tusk touched Prahlad, it fell off the elephant. And the elephant had no more tusks. He got frightened. You know, I just lost his, you know, that's his only weapon other than his big body. So then he ran off, you know, howling, you know, I mean, making some, you know, roaring, whatever, some elephant sounds, and frightened like anything, you know, how I lost my teeth, my tusks. He ran off. So then it said that Hiranyakashipu gave Prahlad some poison, super deadly poison. This is the kind of poison that, you know, the terrorists are looking for that wipe out whole cities. It's like super powerful poison. But then Prahlad, he first doesn't eat anything without offering to Krishna. I said, here's some nice soup, Prahlad, enjoy. So, my dear Lord Krishna, please accept this. Esa naivedyam, was it idam naivedyam? They offered it to Lord Krishna. Because they offered to Krishna, Krishna turned into nectar. He said, oh. And Krishna, what is wrong with this boy? Why doesn't he die? So then, you know, it describes so many different ways that they tried to kill him in that particular, of course, in this, well, they put him in a fire. That was one of the other things. They put him in a fire, but the fire became cool. So Prahlad's in the middle of the fire, but he's like in air conditioning. So it's interesting to see how similar pastime, but a little, you know, little differences. Like in our creation's pastime, he was thrown in boiling oil, and then he was swimming in the oil, and he was thrown in the deadly poisonous snake pit, and he's picking up the snakes, and the snakes are just, nobody's biting him. They threw him from a mountain. But Krishna caught him and brought him down. So different pastimes that Hiranyakashipu tries to kill him in different ways. But none of it is successful. So then Hiranyakashipu in that pastime, he says, okay, so I'm going to, where is your God? He said, he's everywhere. So is he in this column? I said, yes. So then that time again, Hiranyakashipu smashed the column and out came Narsingadev. And then there was a fight between Narsingadev and Hiranyakashipu. Now there's another pastime. Another creation, another Narsingadev Leela, where this time Hiranyakashipu, again he worshipped Brahma. And he asked for the boons, but he didn't ask that it had to be inside or out, not inside, not outside, not in the day or the night. He didn't ask that. Particular, maybe the day and the night he did, but not the inside and outside part of it. So, as at that time, Hiranyakashipu, he conquers over the whole universe with these boons. So, on a higher planetary system, he erected a gigantic air-conditioned stadium, which was like. It said, a 100 yojanas, which is like 1,200 kilometers. That's definitely the biggest stadium, that the world record. That's as big as India, practically. And long, and it was wide, 50 yojanas, and high. And inside there, anyone who went in there, he created with his mystical powers. There was always, there was trees, there was gardens, it was a whole area dedicated to worship of Hiranyakashipu. Whoever went there, they did feel very materially good. And there was abundant foodstuffs that you could get, nice things to drink, all kinds of refreshments. So people would go there and then they would just have a beautiful, nice sense gratification environment. And they would all worship Hiranyakashipu in gigantic kirtans. Millions of, how many people can fit in that huge area? Packed with people. And it said the throne of Hiranyakashipu was 200 meters wide. 400 cubits, so it's about half a meter. So just the throne, I mean, this is what, about a little more than a meter. 200, this throne, gigantic throne, I don't know. Really in a huge setup. And he would be getting everybody to salute him and chant his glories, sing his praise. But the thing he was, if someone didn't praise him, then he was really upset. Everybody, like he told Prahlad, I mean, why are you not afraid of me? Why should I be afraid of you? Well, I can kill you. No, you can't kill me. I'm already dead. I'm already liberated. I can't be killed. Come on, I can kill anybody. Or you try to kill me. So then Hiranyakashipu took his sword and cut right through. Narada Muni went right through. Came out the other side. Nothing happened to Narada. Stabbed him. Cut off his head. But nothing came out. Everything just went right through. Nothing happened. We got frustrated, you know. Spiritual body is indestructible, so it was very useful. These bodies we have now, they are not indestructible. As we find out, they're very subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. So then so in this Hiranyakashipu, a whole world was worshipping. Everybody, the millions of, or at least the tens of thousands of celestial damsels, apsaras, would be dancing for Hiranyakashipu. The Gandharvas would be playing huge orchestras, playing music. It was a really amazing arrangement he had there for his worship. But he couldn't get Prahlad to worship him. He just couldn't. Why everyone's worshiping me? Why you don't worship me? And where do you get the power to defy me? To not accept me as the supreme? Well, you're not the supreme. That's why, I mean, you're my father, it's all right, I respect you as my father, but you're not the Supreme Lord. Your power comes from Vishnu, just like my power, like anybody's power, anybody's life. Energy is all coming from Krishna. Right? We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mamai Vangsa Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All the living entities are the part and parcel of Krishna. So this time, it's a little different scene happened. Hiranyakashipu, he said, well, I'm going to give you till sunset, till like 6 o'clock. If your Lord doesn't show up, then I'm going to kill you. Let him see if he comes and protects you. So in this situation, Hiranyakashipu, he appears on that planet, and there's a city, and he goes through the city's streets, flying through people see, who is this, you know? Half man, half lion, gigantic, golden form, and he's flying. And he enters into that gigantic, we're going to call it a stadium, and it's just like a inconceivable covered area. So inside there, there's jets, there's just like, you know, I mean, it's like enclosing Germany or something, but more than Germany, like half of Europe. So Hiranyakashipu sees this, you know, sees Narasimhadev flying in the rear of his, you know, covered area, and he sends out his air force. So who is this beast? We don't allow any beasts in here. He has to be told to go out, go away. If he hesitates, if he doesn't cooperate, just kill him. So all kinds of airplanes were going with the, and you know, they told Narasimhadev that he has to get out from here, you know, but Narasimhadev. So then they started to attack. Now Narasimhadev took the manes of his hair, his mane, the hairs were like standing out and going, creating like a huge all around. So whenever one of those airplanes would hit one of the hairs on the head of Narasimhadev, it would get zapped, and it would be like turned into ashes, just burnt to ashes. Like, I mean, I don't like the system, but you see sometimes they have these insect burners, you know. It was something like that. But this whole air force was coming up, and as soon as they get near Narasimhadev, they're just getting turned to ashes. So Hiranyakashipu lost his entire air force. I said, I was reading. I said, this is better than, you know, any kind of movie or anything. I was like, yeah. Amazing pastime of the Lord. I mean, even just in terms of excitement and every pastime, it's so new and unique and amazing. So then Hiranyakashipu, he said he had all kinds of missiles. He had Narayana Dvaja, he had Shiva Dvaja, he had heat missile, freezing missile, he had a corpse missile, a skeleton missile, he had a nuclear weapon missile, Brahmastra. And one after another, he was sending all his missiles. And Narasimhadev would just like catch the missile, you know, either chew it off or play with it, throw it down or explode. Nothing would happen. So all the missiles were coming, but nothing was having any effect on Narasimhadev. And he was throwing everything at, finally, you know, send his nuclear weapon. Nothing had any effect on Narasimhadev. So finally, after all his weapons were exhausted, his air force was exhausted, nothing else left to attack from a distance, then Hiranyakashipu took out his sword and he flew up there to fight with Narasimhadev. So in the air, they were having this amazing fight, dancing in the air and attacking each other. And of course, the devas, they would prefer that just finish off Hiranyakashipu quick, you know. But the Lord, waiting for the right moment, and enjoying a good fight. So Prahlad, he just sitting there watching the whole thing, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then it's finally, just at the right moment, then Narasimhadev grabs Hiranyakashipu, just like if someone grabs an insect. And he sat on his gigantic throne, took him and bifurcated him, threw the body down. Then he was there, and then, so all the other demons, just, okay, come on. Come on, who wants to come? They all ran away. And so there in the Shingadev, he was on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, and all the devas came and they started to worship in a massive way, had a huge worship of Lord Nrsingadev. And our creation's pastime, this one, he was so angry that nobody could approach him but Prahlad. But in this particular pastime, Lakshmi could approach him, and Lakshmi sat on his lap, and the devas, they couldn't get near him because his effulgence was like burning. So they were like trying to communicate with Lakshmi, burning effulgence, like change the effulgence. And so then Lakshmi whispered something to Narsingadev, and then he turned his effulgence from burning to cooling. Well, the cooling rays, and then very inviting and cooling and relieving everybody. This interesting little details that I found very interesting. Of course, in our day of Brahma, this one said after Lord Nrsingadev delivered Hiranyakashipu, then he was flying over the earth and he came to Navadvip Dham, Mayapur Dham. And he could see, this is my eternal abode. And then he landed in southeastern corner of Navadvip. And where, although he was not approachable by the devas before, but now, being in Navadvip Dham, he became very approachable to everyone. And so all of the demigods, Indra, Varuna, Agni, Dev, by the Lord, the different angels who are in charge of the universal administration, we call them devas or demigods. Other religions probably call them as angels. Then they all took human-like forms, and they were serving the Lord, cooking for him. They all built little cottages around and little hillocks. And they would come every day. They're cooking the Lord, giving him garlands, worshiping him. They're serving him. So Nrsingadev became very approachable, very accessible in Mayapur Navadvip Dham. So that's because Mayapur Dham is the Adarya Dham, is the land of mercy. So Nrsingadev also become very accessible to his devotees in that abode. So it shows another side to Nrsingadev. We just went on a tour this year on a safari. I go every year on a safari to different parts of India, and this year we got 250 devotees. Normally it's 150, but this year was 258 Prabhupada disciples, 4 or 5 sannyasis participating at different times. We went to the Simhachalam. You know Simhachalam in Visakhapatnam? This is from the previous yugas, where Prahlad, he was praying to Nrsingadev that I've seen you, you delivered my father, but I never saw the form, your form, that you delivered my uncle, Hiranyaksha. Barahadev had defeated Hiranyaksha and liberated him. So then Bhakta Prahlad asked, could I see that form? So Nrsingadev took on a Varaha Narasingha form with the head of Varaha Dev and the body of Nrsingadev. very unique deity. And that deity, then afterwards he stayed in a deity form, and that deity is still being worshipped since the previous yuga. And they covered that deity with sandalwood, huge mound of sandalwood. And one day a year, they uncover the deity, and then they start putting on new sandalwood. After, for 12 hours, he's visible. Then they start covering him again. Then there's a Mangalgiri, Narasinghadev, where you had to climb up a mountain, and on the top there's Panna Narasimha, where they offer, in the Satya Yuga they offered Somaras, in Treta Yuga they offered ghee, in Darpa Yuga they offered milk, in Kali Yuga they offered gur water. And there's a self-manifested Narasinghadev in the mountain, and his mouth is, they pour into the mouth the gur water, and some gur water stays in the conch shell that they pour, and they give that as a prasad. And no matter how many thousand people come, it never fills up. So, and always you get some remnants. So then the devotees are going with bottles of this special remnants from Narasinghadev. Lord Chaitanya visited both of these places. Then of course there's a Hobalam, which has got 9 self-manifested Narasingha deities and one temple with 2 Narasinghas, which was established by Ramanuja Acharya, or one of his followers. Then there's also Yadavagiri Gutta in Andhra Pradesh. Andhra Pradesh has like 10,000 Narasingha temples. So the Narasinghadev is a very, next to Balaji, to Venkateshwar, his most popular deity is Narasinghadev. But this one was There was a rishi from the Ramayana that did sacrifice for Lord Ram, but not Vishwamitra Vasishtha, but another one. His son was worshipping Narasinghadev in a mountain, and in this mountain, right on the stone, 5 images of Narasinghadev manifested. One Lakshmi Narasimha, one Prahlad Narasimha, one Ugra Narasimha, one Garuda Narasimha, and one I forget what was the 5th one, some Supreme Lord Narasimha. So they gave us a very special darshan of all those Narasingha devas. So we were going visiting the different Narasingha temples, of course, and it was very amazing to have this experience. And we also went to the Yoga Narasimha at Melkote, where Prahlad, he was trying to meditate, and he had a Shaligram Shila that turned into Narasinghadev came and appeared to him and showed, this is how you meditate, you're not doing it right. You gotta show them how to sit in yoga posture. And then it became a deity form. So that's Yoga Narasimha, showing his devotee how to serve him. I remember Prabhupada, he was explaining that if we take up our duty to always remember the Krishna and always serve him, then Krishna takes up his responsibility to protect his devotee. So because Prahlad always was remembering Lord Krishna, so Krishna appeared as Narasinghadev to always protect him. So we should also try to always remember the Lord. He's very merciful. He has different forms. Here is Prahlad in Narsingha. So this is a very peaceful, pacified form. The Pujaris were explaining that in Mayapur, the Stanu Narasimha we have is a very ferocious form. And how when they went to the GBC at that time had the dream of the eight-handed form of Narsingadev to protect the Mayapur. And they found it was the Stanu Narasimha. Just when he comes out from the column, so he's looking, where are the demons? Where is this demon who is molesting, abusing my boy, my devotee, Prahlad? And so the maker, he refused. He said, it's too ferocious. I'm afraid, what do you speak of installing and worshipping? I don't know how you'll do it. I don't even want to make such a form of the Lord. You'll be too angry. He asked his guru, and then the guru also said, really dangerous, don't do it. But then the guru had also some dream later and said, no, these people are devotees of Krishna, and they're worshipping the Lord in Navadeep Dham. So they're going to worship Narsingadev as Krishna. And in Navadeep, in that place, the Lord will be, he's more merciful, so it's all right, you can make it for them. And then he made the deity, but then he didn't want to deliver the deity right away. And then all of a sudden there was a huge storm, and his whole workshop got hit by lightning, and it burnt down the whole workshop, and only the Narsingha deity was there. Then he quickly said, take the deity, take him. He wants to go. This is before installation. The 1986 and the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya, that deity was installed. So there were so many pastimes. They were telling about more than an hour of some pastimes. Every deity, I'm sure this deity also, is sometimes nice to hear if any devotees have some pastime that happened, that by worshipping this deity, something they realized, how the deity is reciprocating. Because it says the deity is an incarnation. He's Archa Avatar. The Lord actually incarnates for accepting our worship. So it's a very great opportunity for us to be here. This is a great holy place. This is where the Lord has appeared here to accept all of your worship. And he reciprocates, like this, our deity in Mayapur described how one lady was going blind, and then she prayed to Narsingadev that this may be the last time I can see you because I'm losing my eyesight. And that night Narsingadev appeared in a dream and said that they took out my eyes. You give me back my eyes, and then I'll give you your eyesight. So she told the pujari, and the pujari kept getting also this kind of message, I want my eyes back. But what happened was someone gave really beautiful cat's eye, green eyes. And before they had silver, red eyes. So at that moment when Narsingadev's come out of the column, he has really red eyes. He's really angry. And the green eyes kind of maybe more peaceful. So he didn't want green eyes, he wanted red eyes, his red eyes. So then they had a ceremony and Abhishek, and they put the red eyes. And the lady got back her eyesight. She's a German lady, Swiss or German. And then, like that, somebody brought some mangoes and they thought that these are not, I mean, not good enough. Maybe Narsingadev doesn't like the mango. It's got all mental about. They never offered the mango. That night Narsingadev came in a dream and said, why you didn't give me the mango? I like mangoes. So the next day, a whole bunch of mangoes. They had, it's like this, there's so many pastimes that So here we're in this is a holy place. I'm coming here as a place of pilgrimage to be able to have the darshan and opportunity to do maybe some seva for Lord Narsingadev here. This deity was before Mayapur's deity, right? This was the first major Narsingadev in ISKCON, I think.